Good evening, dear saints. I'm trusting that you've had a good week and you're having a good week. Trusting and hoping as well that the audio is perfect today and there isn't any issue like we had on Thursday. Was it Thursday? Sorry, Sunday. The year is going really quick. Well, we'll just go into the word. Well, been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this year. We would say a few things this evening. And anything we can't say again this evening, we'll say it in the new year. Let it be on record that I'm the first to wish you a happy new year. Wish you a happy, happy new year. Looking forward to mighty things that will be done through our hands in our lives. In the coming days. The coming days are better. I hope you know that. Thank you for lending your ears to me over the last few weeks into months. For some of you, years, right? Hoping that, you know, the words that have proceeded out of our lips have been very redefining for your lives and have helped you to measure growth, progress in the faith, and also made you become a better human being overall. Right. So once again, thank you for the opportunity to speak into your lives. I don't take it for granted. I'm grateful for each and every one of you. And trust in God that years from now, we will stand faithful, steadfast, with our eyes fixed on Christ and Him alone all our days. So happy new year. It's a new year already in some part of the world. So they're in our future. We're in their past. How it's together, right? So make the best of the last few minutes of the year. And what a good privilege it is for us to fellowship around God's word one more time. Like I said, anything I don't say again in this meeting or in this broadcast, I'll say it in the new year. There's still time. Well, let's just go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5. If you've been around for a while, you realize that we usually would end our year or start our year with Ephesians 5. One way or the other, it comes in, right, for a couple of years now. Right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, we started talking about a few things on Sunday before I realized that an hour 30 minutes, an hour 40 minutes was already gone. So I wasn't able to cover a few other things, but we'll trust God that we will say as much. And like I said, if we don't say it now, we'll say it in the new year. Now, 2025 is coming to an end. It has come to an end, really. You know, and one of the things I want to speak to you about today is what exactly do we do with the new year, right? What do we do with the new year? You see, in our last meeting, we looked at two types of time, right? We looked at that as well during the Faith and Folly series. We said there is the Kairos time, and there's Chronos, right? And we said Chronos has the root word from which you have the word chronological, right? That means something goes in a chronological order. So it means A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, right? Or it means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, in a sequence, so to say. All right, and that's Chronos, chronological time. And we're just at the blink of another, whilst can have a Kairos feel, it's actually chronological. It means we had January this year, we had February all the way to October, now we're in December. And the truth is that this time tomorrow, we're going to be in another year. That's sequence, that's chronology. That is after December, it's January, after January, February. You know, but I want to speak to you about what you can do, or what you can do to make the best of time or the best of your life. Let me tell you, you see, time doesn't wait for anyone. Our together, right? Time doesn't wait for anyone. Time is a factor that everyone has credited into their accounts equally. let me say that differently. There is something that is unique to every human that breathes on the earth, and that is the word time. What I mean is, everybody has 24 hours to their power bank or time bank, so to say. It means that we don't have people who have the privilege, fortunately or unfortunately, to enjoy 26 hours in a single day. Together. It means that your time to yourself is my time to myself. One of the questions I did a video about that a couple of weeks ago, right? But I'm just going to talk to you about it as well from the spiritual point of view. One of the questions I've had people ask me over time is simple, very simple. Do you have more than 24 hours in a day, right? We have people ask that question in different forms. So I'm just giving you a general form by which that question can still make sense to you. But it's a question that people usually ask me as a person, right? How do you aim to, or how do you manage time, right? But the truth is that whilst time management is actually something that's very key, right, the truth is there is such a thing called having a clear course or having a clear path that you are to be on, or having a clear, what some people would call, vision. Now we're together, right? And I think once that's in place, it helps you make the most of your time. So I really don't struggle with, I've never for once wished I had more time on anything. Yeah, I've never for once wished I had, probably maybe if I thought there's anything I wish I had more time was maybe more years to be a teenager, just so that I don't jump into the responsibilities I did at a very early age. But you see, generally in life, I just have that, there's something about not being able to change certain facts about life, right? And one of them is time. You can't change it altogether. So look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, wherefore being not unwise, but understanding, verse 17, what the will of the Lord is, right? For you to use the word wherefore there, you know, has its shade root from the word therefore, right? Or it's like a conjunctive word, so to say. So it can be used to connect two ideologies or two thoughts together. On the back of that, what you see before there is verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, right? The truth is that time is not something you redeem in itself, right? It is what you do with time that makes us know if we are redeeming time. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say, you know, we said the word there, redeeming the time, on Sunday. We said there's the word that has to do with the buying into, right? When you want to buy into the future, you want to buy ahead, or something you're trying to, you know, you're trying to get in future. That's the word redeeming, right? So payment to recover the power from another. I was just trying to get that exact word, to buy up, right? You can't really buy up time, but you can buy up time, yeah, by what you do with time. So Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, we said the word here, evil, in the Greek manuscript is a word that should point your attention more to unstable, when something is not stable, than danger or dangerous evil. Even though it's not stable, yeah, it can be dangerous, but not more of evil. When somebody have an evil heart, that means you do something terrible. No, the word here, evil, just really means unstable. Altogether, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So Paul is saying, so time is what comes together to make what you call the counting of days. Let me say that differently. It is time, process, that creates days. Okay? All right? So redeeming the time because the days are evil. So what makes up days will be time, right? So buying up, right? Purchasing off the power of someone, or purchasing off someone else, right, or off another, to ensure that you are making the most of it. And the truth is that what I want you to do with the new year is to set clear-cut goals altogether and ensure that your focus is on your goals. Altogether, right? Ensure that your focus is on your goal. And I'm going to tell you a few things. I'll just give you a few things I feel you should pay attention to this year, right? But before we go there, let's just lay a foundation, as to what, you know, we had a very abrupt believers meeting a couple of weeks ago where, you know, we just all of a sudden yielded to the Holy Ghost and had a time of our life. That was when we went into the new year, really, for us, right? So, we're able to gave some prophecies as well ahead of that, which, you know, even though it was a closed meeting, an enclosed meeting, some of those things will still further be re-echoed as well at the early part of the new year, right? But the truth is, there's a lot you can do with another. Look at 2026 as another opportunity presenting itself. Let me tell you, we have more people who focus about the ideology of the cross. When I mean cross, not the cross of Calvary, the crossover. Yeah, let me say it with a different word that makes you understand. We have more people focused on the transition, right, than the fullness of time. What I mean is, we have more people who focus on 11:59 to 12. Bah, 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 bah. Sorry, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean it as that, right? So don't look at my palm, right? Yeah, talking about, is it, what do you call it? What do you call those things you put, those sparking things that goes into the, you get the point, yeah? 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 The local name just came to my mind, but I don't know why the international one is not coming to my mind. Yep, so everybody's bothered about 11:59. Countdown, 10, 9. But look at it. An average person who does that countdown would have counted an average of, let's say, 5 for a 5-year-old child. More often than not, you have most people in gatherings like that, right, who would have counted nothing less than 10. Let's assume teenagers, 15, 20. So you've counted as much as 25, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year. Now, we are in another time again. What did you do with the last year? Altogether, what did you do with the last year? Look. You see, life will not always go as you planned. That's the truth. And what I mean is, a lot of times we might start the year with a lot of ambitions and wishing and all of those things, but what did you do about the things you put your mind on, particularly the spiritual things? Are we together? What did you do about it? This year, you started the year by saying, I'll finish reading the Bible 3 times or 4 times, 1 per quarter. Yeah? And if we were to genuinely ask you where you are, you're still in Genesis chapter 4. Yeah? If we were to genuinely ask you where you are in Genesis chapter 4, what that really means is you read 1 chapter per quarter. And ideally speaking, you actually read the first 4 chapters in the first quarter of the year. You're saying, how do I know that? Yeah, because I tend to relate with people who have the, I found out that you see, this looks like a conversation we're having, right? Yeah, just hopefully it can help one or two people, right? I found out that we have a lot of people who love the idea, right, of achieving, but they don't make deliberate efforts to achieve. Everybody loves the idea of dreaming. Everybody loves the idea of goals, but no intentional effort. I'm saying, for people who said they're going to win or preach to 100 people this year, I went together, right? If you look through your year, there was no intentional effort of you preaching to even 10 people. I went together, right? So Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are evil, the days are unstable. I'm saying you cannot predict what tomorrow will look like. That's the fact. That's the truth. You know, I said a lot about that in our last teaching on Sunday. You can't really know how tomorrow will look like. You can't really determine what will happen tomorrow, the 1st of January. You can plan. You know, when we're growing up, people say things like, you know, man proposes, God disposes. I went together. The truth is, man proposes, life just disposes. That's just the reality of life. There are plans you think you had, you know, and eventually there's a good time to be thankful. That's good. Yeah, with a heart full of gratitude. But the truth is, in the midst of that, what are you trying to do differently? And you want to ensure you'll be intentional about it. I will say to you, if you can listen to these teachings we do towards the time of the year, right, and listen to it at least 3-4 times across the year, it will help you a lot. Yeah, I don't want to just sound inspirational to you and motivational to you to make you see how you can do better for the things or within the things or for the things of the Spirit or the things of God this year. But I want you to make very deliberate, intentional efforts, right, in trying to see how well can you be committed to the things of God. I was together. Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise. Who is one who is unwise? One who is unwise is one who is not wise. I was together, all right? Yeah, one who is not wise is one who is unwise. What does Paul justify as being unwise in Ephesians 5:17? He says, one who doesn't understand what the will of the Lord is one that is unwise. All together, right? One who doesn't understand what the will of God, what is the will of God? Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 1. We saw that again on Sunday. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks given of things be made known, given of things be made for all men, right? It says for kings and for all that are in authority, that they may lead, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge. God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge. So I'm saying this year, how do you mark your goals? I was saying it on Sunday. We have like some six key indicators or six what you call KPIs, key performance index that I give to leaders every retreat, every year in year out for a couple of years right now, where we measure the things that we plan to do and the things we did or the things we said we would do. And we said, you know, I mentioned some of them, I think, on the last meeting, but the one number one that is always number one, and must have more actions as spiritual goals. Look, my spiritual goals for the past probably 6-7 years has usually been the longest. I remember, so I've always had those from time, really, right? And let me tell you, right? Life doesn't happen by mistake. Sometimes people look at me and think, you have all things all figured out. No, it's not because I trust in myself or I'm an exceptional person. No, it's actually because there's a lot of effort put behind the scene in making sure that life works well. Like I said, life will dispose sometimes you propose, right? So from time, I still saw the book very recently. I can bring it to church one of these days, the Green Book from 2014, 2013, 2014. Every beginning of the year, I have my goals written down. Yeah, just a green flip book I usually use till I transitioned into, you know, accountability. So my phone and all, my laptop and all of those things. And I've always had my spiritual goals longer than ever. And trust me, if you look through my goals for a year, I'm talking about removing spirituality. There are quite a lot. There are quite a lot. If I should tell you my goals for this year and my goals for next year, they're really quite, I'm talking about removing spirituality quite a lot. But I'm saying no matter how, so financial, investment, career, getting certifications that comes under career and all the likes, relationship goals, you know, health goals as well. They're quite a lot, right? And can be very demanding. But you see, in fact, more often than not, if I showed you my spiritual goals, they're usually longer, right, than all other goals. Right, more often than not, you can match two or three of those other segments and it will be up to my spiritual goals, right? Because that's what matters to me the most. Altogether, that's what matters to me the most. That's the most important to me. Altogether. So such that if you fail, so this is the way it works. You know, you've heard me say, gives an analogy severally. If you do well in your career, which you should, if you do well in your health, do well in all your goals, and you fail spiritually, to man, you are Forbes 40 under 40, you're Forbes 30 over 30, under 30. But to God, you failed. Just like when we were in school, for instance, you had a lecturer who would tell you, you have 5 questions in your theory section, answer question 1 compulsory, and it's 60 marks. They did not tell you, using your answer in question 1, answer questions, using your answer in question 1, answer any of the other 2 questions that are remaining 4. Even if you answered all the other questions, let's even assume they don't say use question 1. If you get all the remaining 4 questions or remaining 3 questions, everything together maximum is 40 marks. And we're together, you're done as well, and you fail the first question. That's the way you view your life. Let what carries the heaviest weight in your life be things spiritual. And we're together. Let that which carries the heaviest weight in your life be things spiritual. So like I was saying, right, spiritual goals, we usually have much more. There's a list. It's piled up. I was reviewing my goals a couple of days with my wife and reviewing our goals for the year, right? And the same thing. Spiritual goals had probably maybe 10 to 15 lines. Not exaggerating. It's critical. I'm not talking about goals. They say I will not miss service this year. Hey, I'll come early to church. I've passed that level. Now you're supposed to know. Altogether, heavy books to be read, heavy books to be studied, number of souls to be won, number of outreaches to go for, number of people I needed to have preached to. Altogether, right? It wasn't in the tens. Altogether, and I achieved everything. Altogether, right? So when you are to gauge yourself at the end of the year, how well have you done this year? Don't just get excited because you got a better job, you got a promotion at work, and we're together, or you bought your dream car, you bought your dream house, and we're together, or you finally had a lot of money saved up in your account. Those are brilliant. Those are beautiful. You should have all those things. But the question is, what's the most important? Paul says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. That is how you know a man who is wise. I'm only talking to believers. I hope you know. I'm not talking to a random congregation. I'm talking to believers altogether. Who's a believer? One who believes in the resurrection of Jesus. We're together, right? Paul says, understanding what the will of the Lord. I'm saying that's the most important. That's what matters the most. Are we together? And no matter how busy you claim, you know, in our generation, you just find people just want to give flimsy excuses. You know, like I said on Sunday, nobody moves from excuses to success. Are we together, right? Yeah. For instance, yeah. Let's go for evangelism today. Why didn't you come? My uncle's father had a distant. My brother's sister had this. Those are just excuses. Are we together? You can't compare one who gives excuses to evangelism compared to another one who is scared of going for evangelism, but decides to be around and is paired with somebody else. I see some of you go for evangelism today, and I'm really impressed, because for majority of you, without beating an eyelid, majority of you never preach to anyone before coming to God's palace, particularly for the UK church. Are we together? Majority of you have never stopped anyone on the road to preach to anyone about the love of Jesus. But I see some of you do that right now. You see that? Yeah. There were days where you felt, have you not felt, I really messed up with that guy who asked me that question I could not answer, right? That's a failure day. But guess what? You're not the one propagating the gospel. That means you've moved from failure to success, right? But you see, those ones who will always give excuses. My child will not allow me to preach to this person. My uncle asked me to come to their house today. My daughter said she does not feeling too all right today. Ma'am, you know I'm pregnant. That is just excuses. If you check the rate of success on both parties, yeah, there's one that will clearly do better than the other. Because that's the way life is. Life will not always present to you that which is comfortable or that which is comfort. Are we together, right? Yeah. Life will not always give you a comfortable feeling, right? But you see, you have to push beyond what life gives you. You have to break through, break beyond the point, right? You have to live above all those supposed limitations that cut your mind across, right? So in the coming year, make up your mind to be much more intentional about the things spiritual. I'm focusing on spiritual today. Altogether, when you meet me outside of spiritual, I can focus on something else, right? But I'm talking about things spiritual. What are the things you give excuses for this year? Yeah. What are the things you give excuses for? Talking about spiritual. Are we together? What are the things you give? You know God's will. It's God's will that all men are, who will have all men, 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, right? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What are you doing about? That's the will of God. Paul says you are unwise if you don't understand. That means you don't come to terms and act on. And I hope you know, coming to church is inclusive of that, because it's coming to church that you learn how or what to say altogether. Now, I'm not one thing to come to church, one thing to be present in church. Where's your mind when church is going on? Altogether, right? Yeah, you know, it's so interesting how people use church services as a stopgap for so many things, right? You use church service to be preparing your plan for the week. You have things you want to plan to achieve this week. You write your goals during church service time, or like of some of you who are possibly using me to eat right now. Yeah, this is church time. Altogether, you have no excuse to be eating when God's word is taught. It's a different thing if you're listening to a YouTube video afterwards, but you know, you can create your mind and program your mind to ensure that you have your desk right now. You have your writing materials and your Bible, right? Not just looking at the screen and watching and scrolling through Instagram. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You understand what I'm trying to say, right? You just give an excuse. What's the excuse? You're saying, let me just listen to the word. No mind retains more than 10 to, at most, at best, 25-30% of what is heard. Are we together? Are we together, right? So one of the things you must always remind yourself is that idea of excuses, the excuses you always give, is something you must cut away from. I'm going to give you a few key areas where I think you should pay attention to avoiding excuses in the coming year. So Paul says, redeeming time because the days are evil, right? The question now becomes, what exactly are you doing to ensure that you are more productive in the new year? You get the point? Right? What exactly are you doing to ensure that you are more productive in the new year? Very, very important. right? Very, very important, right? So like I said earlier on, we are born into time. Time exists before us or existed before us. We are born into the sequence of time, right? So what do you do with the new year? You should see a new year, a new chapter, right, as an opportunity to put time into perspective, right? Yeah, regarding your devotion, consecration to the things of God. Are we together, right? Yeah, you know you can ensure that you don't miss a service this coming year, and it's possible. Heaven and earth will not fall. Yeah, it's the reality. Let me say this way. Anything that makes you miss Sunday frequent services, are we together, at the expense of, because you are busy, you just might be too busy for God. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, you just might be too busy for God. Yeah, it's just the reality. Now, there might be some very quiet exceptions, but it shouldn't be an all-year-round thing. Yeah, don't be too busy for God. Yeah, don't be too busy for you. Don't say you don't have time. Just say it's not your priority. And to just make life easier and better for you. Are we together, right? Just don't say, you know, I don't have time for the things of God. No, it's not your priority. Whatever you have time for is what your priority is. You know what I'm trying to say, right? So, time is something that, you know, every opportunity you have, just put it in the right perspective. What am I doing? Am I advancing to get it to become a better believer? You know, there's no time that listening to God's word that is a waste. But you know, there are specific times that when you listen to God's word, particularly collectively as a whole, as a family, as a church, right? It just has a different impact on your life. It just has a different impact on your ministry. Are we together? All right, so you can make up your mind in coming here that, you know, I won't just give excuses. Okay, if I'm going to miss any service this year, let it not be more than one service. Yeah, let's know more than one service and let it be that. And it's not even as if I know what the service is, right? Or what the service day is, but maybe something beyond my control. Not the one you go and pre-plan beyond your control. Are we together and just expect that we just move on just because after all, like people have other things going on for them. People have other things going on for them. I also have other things going on for myself as well. I want to get that, but you can build that practice. You can be the only Sunday in my life I've missed a Sunday service that I can remember was when we were in a French-speaking country. This was years ago, when a French-speaking country, this was probably 2005 or 6, that's 5, 6 or 7, when a French-speaking country, and all the churches around were French-speaking churches. That's the only time I remember. I can't even remember missing a Sunday service because of my health. I can't remember, if at all, maybe once, if at all. So it means in over almost 2 decades, over 2 decades, I've seen myself miss service just twice. It's not impossible. Yeah, that will not fellowship with the saints on a Sunday. And there was a service, or there was service, or there was something that needed to be done. I would get, not like I've had life in all shades, up, down, middle, whatever face it is. But you see, there's been that commitment that has been with me over time. And I'm saying it to you. Why am I saying it to you? Because so you can know it's possible. Altogether, a lot of us listening to us today, we're going to have children who will be teenagers in a couple of years. And a couple might be 10, might be 20. But the fact remains that whatever pattern or model that you cannot sustain for your devotion, think about it this way. Our parents were very concerned about the churches we moved into, peradventure for some of us who left the churches we were born into. Why? Because they had a sense of devotion and commitment to their local churches altogether. And they just, because of love they have for you, they just didn't want you to be mixed or tossed to and fro by winds of false doctrines. Altogether, right? And one of the leaders conversation we're having a couple weeks ago or months ago, we're talking about how do you deal with disciples who their parents don't want them to go to church. Don't ask them to be disobedient. Altogether, right? If you had a child, you grew up in God's palace, you believe that God's palace is the most whatever doctrine that is that your family needs at every point of life. And your child was born in God's palace and grows up to their 18, 20, 24, 25. All of a sudden, they tell you they want to go to another church. You're going to be skeptical. Yeah, anything that doesn't make you skeptical, you don't really care about them. That's just, there's no final way to say it. There's no final, no matter how much you trust their decisions, anything that makes you very skeptical, just realize, particularly if it's not even a church where you feel like they teach something different from what they've known all their 20 years. You are a very irresponsible parent. Very irresponsible parent. Particularly if you grew up in church, you were born in church, born into that local church. All of a sudden you say, we don't believe in your word. Yeah, I want to go to another word. You don't double check it. That's irresponsibility at the height. So flip the switch. That's what's happening already in our world, right? But the truth is that they can also only get to that point as parents because they give their commitment and conviction as they were growing in their younger years, in their younger age. And that's the way life is. Are we together? Don't wait to get serious with the things of God tomorrow. The Paul says the days are evil. They are unstable. Are we together? Yeah, they are evil. Imagine I told myself as a teenager that I would get serious with God in my early 20s when I turned 30. Imagine I told myself as a teenager, you won't be here today. You won't listen to me today. Yeah? Wherefore, right, be not unwise, understanding the will of God. It says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Are we together? Imagine as a teenager, I was saying, no. Think about it. In fact, we can go back even before teenage years, right? Imagine I wasn't as serious with the things of God as my parents had put in my hands from a young age, right? Imagine I wasn't serious as a teenager in the things of God. I said, no, when I get to my, once I clock 24, who told you your mind will be sound or full when you turn 24? Who told you you're going to have the time to even load your mind with the right information when you turn 24? Yeah? You're not certain about time. You're not certain about tomorrow. But you're certain about something. Time would always pass. And I say to you, dear saints, right? In the coming year, don't allow it to be just another year. We said it earlier in one of our meetings. We said it's going to be a bedrock year for us as a church, right? And a lot of us as families. What does that really mean? It means it's going to be a year of rooting ourselves deeply into whatever thing we say that we really want to be committed to. It's going to be a bedrock year. Altogether, right? So I speak to you today. Don't think of next year as another year where you just want to, there's something called onto cruise. Altogether, right? Don't be the believer who tries to get committed to God, right, at the beginning of the year, and you can't sustain it through two quarters, three quarters, four quarters. Altogether, right? Yeah, it's a sacrifice you must make, right? Because the days are unstable. Right? Yeah. Happy are you that you've built your heart and given your attention to the things of God, and you've built strength and stamina such that you're now able to help grow and groom a family, or help and grow that younger person who is looking up to you, or to mentor and coach people who are just, and privileged to be in your sphere and you have an influence over their lives. You can't give what you don't have. And we're together, right? So ensure that with everything that you do this coming year, yeah, you make sure that you guard yourself. So I'm going to look through a few points, like I said. Right? Yeah. So you must tell yourself it's been new year. You're going to walk some more. You're going to walk in love some more. You're going to grow in knowledge more. Are we together? Right? If your goal, listen to me today. If your goal this year is that outside of church services, you listen to one extra teaching in a month, you are not serious. I'm sorry if it's stunk, if it stings, right? But you're not just serious. Yeah, I'm saying you said that your goal this year is not to listen to one sermon a year, and you're trying to encourage yourself that it's baby steps. You are not serious. Yeah, this is beyond baby steps. I would get one message outside of church time in a month. Think about it. How many hours do you have in a day? 24. How many hours do you have in a week? Right, that's 24 times 6. That's about 24 times 7, 168 hours. Right, I don't talk for more than 1 hour, 30 minutes at a given time in two places, 3 hours. Right, so that's 3 hours in a week. Right, so that's more Sunday and Wednesday. In 4 weeks, that's 3 hours times four. That's 12. That's 12 hours. If you remove 12 hours from 168 hours, what do you have? Right, yeah, you have 68 to 6, so that's 156 hours. Yeah, yeah, you have the guts to write down a goal that you listen to God's word, a message, one message a month. I try to even make it look like like for something to collaborate to make it sound good. One per month. Are we together? So 12 hours after 168 hours, and you are unfortunately sleeping for 8 hours a day. So you are sleeping. Someone was saying to me, doing a calculation one day and said, if you sleep for 8 hours every day in the next 20 years or something like that, you'd have slept for 10 years of your life. Until we see these numbers in context, you will not understand what you are doing to yourself. Now we're together. 8 hours sleep is good, very important. Now we're together. But you can't be sleeping 8 hours every day and you are not listening to more than one message in a month. No, cut down that sleep, my dear friend. Cut down that sleep. You are sleeping the sleep of sorrow. Cut down that sleep. Altogether. Even if it's to cut it down by 7 hours and listen, use one extra hour for God's word every day. You should build that culture and that practice. And we're together, right? Build that culture and that practice, right? So this year, make up my mind, I'm going to listen to more messages this month. I'm going to pay more attention to my pastor's messages. I'm going to listen to the things pastor, because more often than not, when you see pastors struggling with, what members are doing or what members are not doing, it's because members are not listening enough more often than not. And we're together. members are not listening enough, right? So what about paying attention and be like, you know, this year I'm going to listen, I'm going to take one of our longest series as a church and go listen to it and pay attention to it and grow. What about having that structure set out and laid out for yourself? Right? That's the only way you get better. It's a bedrock here. That's the only way you invest in your future. There's nothing wrong with listening to a message every single day. You have the time. You can. It's not just priority. It's not just priority. You can listen to a message every day. Are we together? You can pray for 30 minutes every day. You can pray for 1 hour every day. It's not impossible. Are we together? Anything that makes you too busy, right? And, but pastor, you don't understand because I'm doing 3 jobs. If you like, do 5 jobs. Let me tell you, anything that makes you do 2 jobs at the expense of you not having a spiritual devotional life, you are too busy for God. You are overly busy. Cut down on it. You don't have any excuse for doing 2 jobs, really. And pastor, I don't understand where you're coming from, where you're going to. Cut down on your lifestyle, cut down on your distance, start using your energy to focus on something else. Yeah? Mind you, I'm only talking to those who will use 2 jobs as an excuse not to grow spiritually. Yeah? If you do 3 jobs and you are still very committed to the things of God and you have a devotional life, that's fair and good, okay and fine. But you can't be claiming to be doing 2 jobs, doing 3 jobs, and you cannot listen to God's word. You can't hear God talk to you in a day, in a full day. Yeah, you listen, and now your 1 hour message, you listen to it across the entire month, 2 minutes per day. After Joshua finished talking for the first 1 minute to 3 minutes to 43 seconds, you pause. Are we together? You know, say, I stopped in 3 minutes, 44 seconds. You go and play the other 2 minutes. You know, you need to grow up. Nobody else will tell you. I'll be the only one to tell you. Okay, as long as I'm a pastor. Yeah, that's the only way you can combat this world and the vices this world brings your way. Right, so this year, make up your mind to be much more intentional. All together, right? Don't just be all about, maybe in the future, would we do crossover service? And maybe when we have our fiscal space and we have an auditorium, if we did have our auditorium, we'll be somewhere, we would have met this evening, you know, one or the other. But I go and pray and say, no, gospel does not have the auditorium. You lie. All together. But you know, what I'm trying to say is we just meet in the evening as well. Fellowship around God's will go by your way. More often than not, I slip into the new year. And are together, right? And the truth is, I sleep into the new year, and when I, you know, have privileges to hear how people use their entire year, right? Even though they crossed over their year in the presence of the living Jesus, right? Even on spiritual goals, they are nowhere close to me who slept over the new year. I'm not saying it's wrong to be awake and I want to be the first to wish you a happy new year, but all that doesn't matter, right? The best, most important thing is, what are you doing to make yourself better? All together. Yeah, this, that night, now people jump from different crossover service to another. You jump from this one, you jump to that one, you make this one, you say, our church, we don't used to do this one, I want to join this one and dance away my sorrow and bring gratitude to God. You see, with all of those things, you did that last year. What did that really change? If you're not intentional with yourself every single day through the year, right, you won't make the most of your life as you should. So I'll just give you a few things you should look through while looking through the year. We're going to start the year with a serious prayer. Look at Matthew 26. Watch and Pray is a series for January. So we're going to look at praying, the practice of praying. Look at Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus, verse 36, Matthew 26. With them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took him with him Peter and 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. That was Jesus in a place of prayer. All together. The Bible says that the disciples were praying in such a way that the room where they were was shaking. Some people say it's figure of speech. Okay, and pray in, let us see your own figure of speech. The Bible says that Jesus' blood was as blood of droplets, as sweat was as blood of droplets. And it's a parable. Okay, where is your own? Let's see your own parable. Let's see your parabolic prayer. Are we together? You see, this year, number one thing you should do more, pray more. I've just given you the first one. One thing you focus more this year that you should use your time for, pray more. Are we together? He says, Jesus was very sorrowful and very heavy. That's God in the flesh. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here while and watch with me. Right? Tarry ye here and watch with me. If you look through Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1, yeah, to show you the concept of watch and pray. Look at Ephesians 6 verse 18. Let me not go into that as well. Yeah, watch and pray, right? To watch is to pray. So watch and pray does not mean watch, keep an eye on your security camera whilst you are praying. No, the act of watching is the act of praying. So he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. And he went a little further. And what did he do? He fell on his face and prayed. Hey, you know, pastor, all this your prayer you're talking about needs to be very distinct. That's God in the flesh. He fell on his face and prayed. Okay, even his figure of speech, you too, do your figure of speech. Let us see. This year, pray like you never prayed before. Okay? Yeah, pray like you never prayed before. Are we together? Whilst you have prayer as a culture, take out more days and times to pray. Fast this year, pray. Take out vigils, take out walks and pray and shout and scream. Let me tell you, you know, like I always tell you, when you hear people always say, I don't pray in the UK because of my environment, noise pollution. There is no environment that does not have bush around them. Maybe around, but if you find a way, maybe city centers of lots of places, but if you have a will, there will be a way. If you wish to do it, there will be a way. Yeah, there are wood paths around my environment. I go out and it's, sometimes I'm there praying at 11 p.m. I was together, right? 11 p.m. not because I feel like that's the most special time, because that's the only time I probably could have taken out that amount of time at a stretch to pray. Go on walks and pray. Put your headset and pray. Are we together, right? If you prayed and anybody looked at you as mad, what happens? Life moves on. Have you not realized that most people who accuse you or tell you that you are mad for doing whatever it is on the road, you might never see them for the rest of your life again? Yeah? So Jesus went aside and he put his feet on the ground and he prayed. And what was his prayer? It's possible let this cup pass over me, right? Look at verse 40. And what did he do? He came to his disciples and he found them asleep. And he said unto them, Peter, what, you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch with me, there cannot be, you could not keep an eye for snake for 1 hour. No. Are we together? Right? He now says in verse 41, watch and pray. Watch, I mean to say, pray, that ye enter not into temptation. Right? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is that not your reality today? Except that's not really reality. He went away again second time and what happened? Said the same prayer point, right? If you realize the same prayer points were repeated, that means a lot of times in your prayer devotion, your prayer points might not change. If your prayer points changes per every season or everything drastically in your prayer life, let me say it differently. If your prayer point changes in different seasons of your life drastically, yeah, you really might not have a prayer life. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. Think about it this way. Anybody who you see jumping from pillar to post, joining all kinds of prayer points, let me ask you a simple question. Particularly prayer points that have a lot of things around yourself, me, myself, and I. When those things are answered, you don't have anything again to pray for. Or you will shift the goalpost again. Why? Because human needs are insatiable. You know, I said it on Sunday. The richest man in the world now is Elon Musk, right? Having about over $700 billion. Right together, he's still striving to get more money. Human needs are insatiable. Human wants rather are insatiable. You get the point? So if your Christian faith is that which changes with season and time, you don't have a Christian life. The life of Jesus, you see his prayer life, the same prayer point he prayed the first time he went away. That means for 1 hour. How long do you think he went away for? It's not hard, because he said you couldn't watch for me for 1 hour. So the minimum he went for 1 hour away. So he prayed the prayer point. What was the second prayer point? Verse 42. He went again the second time and he prayed, saying, oh, my father, you just got the same prayer point. And he came and found them again. He was asleep and their eyes were very heavy. There are some sleeps that are sleeps of sorrow. And we're together. And he left them and he went again and he prayed the third time, saying what? The same words, verse 44. Then cometh he to the disciples and said, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. So there are times for prayer. And we're together. Let's even assume that God, Jesus woke Peter. And eventually they now decided to start praying. It was still good that they would start praying at this point. Altogether. So one thing you should not joke with in the coming year is your prayer. Altogether. Ensure that you don't joke with your prayer. Take out time to pray in the coming year. Number one, take out time to pray in the coming year. Yeah? Take out time to pray in the coming year. Number one, take out time to pray in the coming year. Look at Luke 18 verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to the end, or to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Yeah? So if you look through that parable of there was a city and a judge which feared no friend of God, neither a gathered man, there was a widow in that city. The end of that parable is with the aim of communicating something, that men always ought to pray. Dear brother, dear sister, be a man of prayer this coming year. Pray, take our time and pray. Pray a lot. Pray a lot. You know how they say pray voraciously. Yeah, let there be a lot of scrupulous prayers in this coming year. Pray a lot. Altogether. Yeah, prayer shows your dependency on God. Prayer shows that you trust in not your will, your power, your strength, your wisdom, but in His grace. You trust in His will, in His power. You trust in His all-knowingness. So pray a lot in the coming year. Altogether, right? Pray a lot in the coming year, right? You don't need to. You don't need someone to be leading prayer for you before you pray. Yeah. You don't need God to, you see, let me tell you, you don't need, are there times that God will give you nudges to pray? Yes, but you don't always need nudges to pray. Anytime you need nudges to pray, go and open your Bible. Men ought to pray. I'll just give you the scripture that will nudge you. Okay, let me say it differently. It will make you happier. Yeah? If you want God to nudge you, go to Luke 18. If you had one that only prays based on, I just pray nudge. And every other thing I do is prayer of thanksgiving. I just give thanks. I give thanks to the Lord. Now we're together, right? There's a place for thanksgiving. Your prayer life cannot be around thanksgiving. Now we're together. Like I said earlier, your prayer focus should not change. What are you praying for? Souls of men. Pray for believers in your local church, particularly your pastor. Now we're together, right? Yeah, your pastor in the coming year should take a huge chunk of your prayer time. Why? Because to the degree at which he sways away, that's the degree you will follow. Some of you think you have a sound mind, right? You have a mind that cannot be impressionable. It's not possible, except you don't listen to your pastor. And what I'm saying is not just for gospelers anyway. I've not asked yourself a question. You find out that some people, their pastors are doing very interesting things, and eventually people are still following them. Why? More often than not, right? Yeah, you will find out that the degree of swaying of your pastor will determine your degree of swaying. If I backslide tomorrow, more often than not, majority of you will backslide. Let me tell you, do you know why? Yeah, because you've some way, one way or the other, given your trust to the one who preaches in front of you. It's just normal. It's honorable. It's scripture, in fact. Yeah, you've lended your ears, you've lended your attention, you also lended your mind. Have you not realized there are some things you started doing or stopped doing since you became a member of God's Palace? It's who your pastor is. Some of you have been so driven in your career because you became a member of God's Palace. It's who your pastor is. You just lended your ears to me. You just heard me talk. Yeah, that's why you pray for me the most. Our together, right? So let your prayer involve your family, obviously, involve your, you know, friends in the church, friends outside of church. Pray for perishing souls, right? Pray for your own Christian devotion. Just pray. Men ought to pray and pray always. Let me tell you, prayer points do not exhaust. And you realize, like I said, your prayer points should actually have some fundamental things in every season of your life. Our together, yeah? So pray a lot and pray a lot. Number two, study God's word and listen to God's word a lot in the coming year. Build an atmosphere in your house that will create an opportunity to always listen to God's word. Listen to God's word. Listen to God's word. Our together. On the go, listen to God's word. In your car. Yeah. Don't use different playlists for different, you know, different audiences in your car. When your pastor enters your car, you're listening to The Woman in Christ. Our together. When your pastor leaves your car, you're alone, you listen to Chris Brown, you increase the volume. Chris Brown. You listen to Rihanna. Yeah, a Christian listening to Chris Mariana is an unserious person. There's no better way to say it. Altogether, there's no better way to say it. Now, I didn't just say Chris Brown is everything secular. No. I just mentioned particulars, right? What are they actually singing? And say, I just want to ground to create a balanced world. You'll soon be balanced. Altogether, right? Yeah, so listen to God's word more. Listen to God's word more than any other thing you do. Altogether, listen to God's word. Yeah, always listen to God's word. Listen to God's word. Don't allow anything to take the place of God's word in your life. Always ensure you are listening to God's word. Always ensure that you are paying attention to God's word. In the bathroom, listen to God's word. When you are going out, listen to God's word. When you are on a walk, listen to God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light feet and light unto my path. Psalmist says that in Psalm 119, verse 105. Right? Yeah? It's God's word that will guide you, that will give you direction. Some of us are struggling to hear God's voice because we've not paid attention to God's word. You get the point? Yeah, God, lead me, lead me, lead me. I don't even know what to do. I'm stuck. Just pay attention to God's word. Right there in the middle of that, you'll find the direction leading you need for the next phase of your life. Next number, number three, I think, maintain the heart and the posture of a child towards the things of God. Look at Matthew 18, verse 1. I'll say it one more time. Maintain the heart and the posture of a child towards the things of God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At the same time, Jesus came disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus called a little child unto him and said unto him, and set him on the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children. He's not saying you should change your structure, body structure, your body composition. No. He's saying, have the slant, are we together, of these children. So whosoever therefore shall be humble, or shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greater than the kingdom. Whosoever shall receive one such little, shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. So maintain the posture of a child. What does that mean? It means you are easily entreated. It means you are easily corrected. Dear saints, in the coming year, one of the utterances that, you know, God had given to, you know, giving us, although this is limited to leaders, but it will spill over into church, right? That one of the instructions God had brought through one of our leaders in the last retreat we had a couple of days ago, a week ago, was that in the coming year, I as a pastor should not spare the rod. That means I should bring correction where correction is due. Let me tell you, you can only get corrected and receive correction when you have a heart of meekness. You see, a lot of times when people fight correction, it is pride that is fighting correction. Yeah, no. People can try to explain it away by saying things like, it's the way you corrected me. No. I'm trying to say that even if the person could or should have done it better. Could have done it better, but I'm not the person. Right? You will still find a way. Your pride will still find a way to you, because why are you correcting me altogether? Yeah, in this coming year, have that posture of heart. Right? That's one of the best ways you can make you can what you call redeem the time. Because everything is all around understanding what the will of the Lord is. Yeah, and the reason why you have pastor, shepherd, pastors, pastor, shepherd, leaders, and all of those things is to help bring correction to you. If you don't have anybody who can correct you, you are just like a bomb waiting to explode. More often than not, you will now implode before you explode altogether. So maintain the heart of a child. Get correctable. Be teachable. There are a lot of things that will not sit well with you, and that's the truth. I can't be your pastor, and everything I say to you throughout the year sits well with you. That's a troublesome thing. It won't always sit well with you. I can't pastor you for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and everything I'll say to you will sit well with you. No, I'm not called to massage your ego. I'm called to bruise your ego to ensure that you become a better person. There's nobody who I've ever corrected, who I never thought, or my intention was not to make them better or see them come out better. Some of you have corrected, you were humble enough to take correction, made amendments to it, and you moved on with your life. Who got better? Not me. You did get better. Altogether, you did get better. So in the coming year, maintain that simple posture and heart of correction. And like I always say, if your pastor can correct you, that's not your pastor. Yeah? And you're not a member, you're not a disciple, you're a fan. Yeah? Best thing is get a pastor. Safer, just get a pastor. Talking to anybody who is anywhere in the world that might listen to this teaching. All together, right? Yeah? Just get someone who can correct you. Yeah? Yeah? The onus is on you to maintain the posture of a child. Be easily correctable. Be easily teachable. Don't be somebody who is, who your pastor needs to pray before they correct you. How we together, right? That's one of the things I think I enjoy the most. I've never had to pray to correct anybody. How we together. In my days, I might call you, I'll correct you. And after you drop the phone, you will cry. There's some tears that comes after correction that is godly. You will not get better without those tears. You need to cry the cry. It's a full package. So maintain a heart, a posture of correction. Let me tell you, right? Even if someone corrects you and don't like the tone of correction, like I always say, you always have the right, always feel free to speak about it. Oh, Pastor, I think you could have done that better. Pastor, I didn't really like the way you spoke to me. Yeah. But to throw the bath and the baby away, and you throw the bath, some of us, we throw the bath, the baby water, and the baby away. Come on, grow up. Yeah. Get teachable. Get teachable. I'll correct you. You will do things wrong. It might not have been your intention. Let me tell you, when you see people hate correction, they are proud. They feel like they have everything all figured out. They can't make mistakes. Do you understand? And there's none of you who I know that is in that category. None of you who I know who can make mistakes, including myself. That's why I have people who correct me. See, that's wisdom, right? That's wisdom. You know what I'm trying to say, right? So maintain that heart and posture of a child, right? Yeah. Be open to learn, be open to listen and be corrected, be open to be rebuked. Yeah, sometimes your book will come very clear. In fact, like I always say, right, there's none of you who is not a leader I've rebuked properly. None of you. I'm always very cautious about that. But I'll rebuke you, but might not be the way I'll rebuke a leader altogether. But the most important thing is rebuke is rebuke. Just get rid of it, get the message, change your ways, get yourself better, keep getting yourself better, grow, get stronger. It's for your good. See, let me tell you, if I correct you on something as a pastor, right, I don't get better by you heeding or not heeding to the correction. I don't get better. No. I don't get better. Yeah? It only makes you better. You get the point? Let's say, for instance, you're corrected on how you dress or how you, whatever it is. Yeah? Or how you appear. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah? Yeah. I don't get better. Because you are the one that did it. You are the one that required to be corrected, to be rebuked. Right, so maintain the posture. What number am I? I think I probably mixed out some of the numbers there. But the next number there, I think, should be number 4. Let me tell you, this year, audit your relationships and association. Things you pay attention to in 2026. Number 1, pray more. Listen to God's word. Maintain the heart and posture of a child. Pay attention to that very well. Audit your relationship and associations and influence. You know, this year, much more than ever before, right, taught some of you the importance of guarding your heart. Altogether, it taught some of you the importance of not allowing people who are bleeding to spill blood on you. Altogether, very, very important. Like I always say, and I'll say it again, it's easier for you to actually dodge somebody who is spilling blood. Altogether, and allowing their blood to spill on your white cloth than for you to take out time to go and wash. Because sometimes you are still doing the process of washing, but they've taken that person to the hospital, they've used bandage to cover their blood, and they're no longer bleeding. But guess who is still washing? Yourself. Altogether, guard your associations, my dear children, my dear saints. Altogether, guard your association. Guard it very well. Guard it very well. Guard your relationships. Altogether, guard what influences you. Some of you, right, is after this meeting, you'll go and unfollow Insta blog Niger. Some of you, just lover, eh? Yeah. Sometimes I feel very disappointed when for any reason I see a video, I go to some pages, right, and maybe I'm trying to scroll through something or whatever. Yeah, just followed by these and others. I'm disappointed. Like, oh, no wonder you think the way you do. Some of you, after this call, you can't use your phone and buy doom. You can't buy your doom with your money. You understand? You bought your phone with your money. You can't use that phone to get yourself into something. I hope you know, you are not, everybody is impressionable. You see, as I'm talking to you today, it's an impression. Yeah? I was influenced by someone. I was influenced by people. I was together, right? Yeah? All those, dear Jolo, Abizi, Jojo, Abi, what's even their name? Dear something. Eh? And you're reading people's story and all these people are going through in their marriages. Is that who you married? Why do you want to understand? This pastor, they say this pastor is manipulating their members. Okay, is that your pastor? You trust yourself, but it just shows you are unwise. It shows, when you see someone who is always after those kind of things, and it just clearly shows you are very foolish, unfortunately. Whoever it is, you are just very foolish. When you are always listening, looking for gists of negative things, you are very foolish because you don't know how that thing begins to affect you. All of a sudden, you start seeing your spouse differently. All of a sudden, you start seeing your children differently. Could it be that this is what my child is even doing behind the door? Yeah? Could it be that this is what my relatives are doing behind the door? Could it be that this is what they're saying about me? Could it be that this... Before you know it, you start second-guessing yourself. Start second-guessing everybody. It just shows how very, very foolish you are. But you're jumping from Insta blog, Insta that you're always going to look for the latest. You know all the gist. You know, it's a different thing when you are passing and impassive. You just realize this video is consistent. You know, what are they showing? You now check it. And all of a sudden, you know, you just realize then you're smart enough to know how to skip. But you now... Some of you go to some of those pages, go and watch it. This pastor did this to this lady. This lady did this to that man. This pastor did this to this person. And you know the entire story. Yeah? Let me tell you. Yeah? You will soon begin to see me that way. Or your pastor, whoever is listening. Altogether, you will soon begin to see your pastor that way. Or let me say differently, you begin to second guess your pastor. After all, every man of God has a man in their title. Man of God. Not God or man. Could it be that this is what a pastor is doing, but we've not yet caught him? After God, 90 days for the thief. You just need to be. So in the coming year, guard your influence. Guard the friends who bring. I told you, I had a friend who every time somebody dies, he just calls me. I had to shut him up. Learn to shut the voice of the devil when you see it. And all those gist lover sites are voices of the devil. Learn to shut it when you see it. Be smart enough. Redeem your time. Use that. Okay, you heard that there's something about this man of God, this woman of God. You know what you do? Rather than use your time to go and watch and go and listen and go and pay attention to anything, right? If at all you want to listen to anybody, go and listen to the pastor himself and go and see how he wants to excuse himself. But I tell you what it is there. Just know the news and go and pray. Father, that your kingdom reigns. Father, that your will be done. Father, that use that energy to pray. Right? We are all products of influence. All products of influence. Let me tell you, the way you begin to see, if you begin to see me in a certain light, you only heard something or you saw something that somebody else said about some. You know, a lot of times you don't even know what you heard that made you start changing your perspective about someone. You don't know. That's how the subconscious works. Now imagine you are now walking intentional. So I say to you, as a structure, as a pastor, right? If I'm your pastor, yeah, you should be ashamed of yourself following those bloggers. Go and follow them. Yeah, go and follow them. Go and follow those bloggers that are always talking about issues, marital issues. There are lots of marriages that are doing good around you. Pay attention to that. Altogether, there are lots of pastors who are serving Jesus and not preaching and they're not swindling people. I want to understand how does this man used to connive with people to steal their money. They say this man used to have a tortoise under his car seat. Yeah, you now listen, you now watch it. And they always, I know, unfortunately, you always know all those videos when they are clickbaits. You now click, wonder shall never. You are a wonder. You are a wonder. Is that so? Like when Nigerian people say, things they'll call, you are a thing that is occurring. You are an occurrence, in fact. This, I'm just trying to say, I'm saying all this way for you, just so you were wise. Yeah, guard your influence, right? As I said, audit your relationships. Get people who are going to help you serve God better. Get people who are posting about things of the Spirit, things of God, people that want to spoil you up your spiritual journey. All together, like I always say, have different categories of friends, but pay more attention to your friends that spoil you up in doing better for Jesus. Together, right? Yeah, so please make sure you act on that in the coming year. Don't know all the gist that's happening all over the world. A pastor does something in Zimbabwe, you know the pastor. A pastor does something in Kenya, you know the pastor again. A pastor in Mozambique, you know the pastor. And a pastor in UK, you know the pastor. All right, together. Yeah, no true believer or a true Christian, all right, together, gets their mind involved in those things. I say it to you. Go and check it very well. It affects your relationship. It affects your life. It even affects how you see things, how you see people. Right? Yeah. My husband, I found out my husband was doing something with my neighbor. I found out my neighbor used to come. I thought my neighbor was coming to come and help me clean. I thought that there was someone coming to clean the window in our house, not knowing my house. One day, you also go and set camera in your house so that you can be recording the house. Only to find out after 6 months of recording, nothing came. Do you understand? Yeah, you will now feel very silly and very stupid, right? So just ensure that you're not foolish in the coming year. Avoid relationships that drain you. You know, I was talking to someone recently, the person was saying, Pastor, I don't know how to tell people no when they want to tell me something. I was very blunt to the person, but I won't tell you what I said to the person. Altogether, right? But how can you say you don't? It's only a being. Only a being that takes every trash. Let me even say it differently. How do I want to say it in a way that will be very polite? I hope you know I'm not trying to be polite. Even in UK self, yeah, there is grey bean. Grey bean is for general waste. There's still what you call green lead bean. Even bean in the UK are separate. There's one for carton. There's one for plastic. There's one for general waste. Everybody brings it to you. You say, I don't know how to say no. Learn to shut people up. Learn to ask people never to speak about anything about whoever to you again. Learn to tell people, don't bring this gist to me again. You have that friend that's always say, have you heard? Have you? That's how they always start their greeting. Have you heard? You know, I say, tell me, what was it? Gist me. In the coming year, I don't know why I'm paying attention to this, but please, in the coming year, be very intentional. Guard your relationships. Right, let me tell you, you would only achieve as much to the degree, right, you actually guard your company. Right, think of people who are thinking of, they want to win 50 souls for Jesus next year. Think about people who want to win 500 souls for Jesus next year. Let's think about people who want to destroy the men that God is using in different parts of the world, right? Or destroy the body of Christ, or destroy saints in different shapes, forms, and sizes. Yeah, I hope you know, movement is not always progress. You can moving around in circles and you think that you're progressing. You're just moving around. Look at children of Israel. What should have cost them ideally days in 2 weeks took them 40 years because they were going around in a cycle. They were in a company, but they were not in the right company. And unfortunately, the people you associate yourselves with or yourself with can determine how far you go. The likes of Joshua and Caleb, who were not in unbelief, unfortunately had to suffer the repercussion of being among the children of Israel. Did you hear what I just said? Guard your circle. If somebody brings this to yourself, pack the load. Pack yourself up. See, let me tell you something. Don't say you keep quiet and you listen. You are just being very, very unwise. You cannot unlisten to what you've listened to. Don't you get that? Why do you trust yourself so much? You can't only say, and they were just giving me gist. I was just saying, You don't know that your was making them to increase the gear of the gist. They tell you when you say, It is well, oh. That's a month well to get it out now. Yeah? Be wise in the coming year. Yeah? I don't even know how to respond. Yeah, let me tell you. Not saying no to certain things is as good as saying I approve. Yes, keep it coming. How can someone be gisting you about negative, gossiping with you about somebody else? And you claim you don't want to know about the gossip, but you are not shutting them up. Learn the art of shutting people up. Learn that act of shutting people up. There are those you do it politely for. We're together. There are those that do not require anything called politeness. You give them a stern warning. I've done it over time. Altogether, I've done it over time. And don't allow people getting a point where you go and be giving gist that nobody sent, unsolicited gist. Some of us try to use gist to buy more gist. You pick what's happening in God's palace because you want to go and know what's happening at that church. You go and first lay your own. You first draw the card. Seven diamonds. They give you seven diamonds. They give you general market. You go and pay general market. I went to get that. So they say, last card, what? Right? So they will pour the gist on your head. Be wise. Don't forget, you cannot unlisten to what you've listened to. Altogether, if you heard anyone say about your husband, right, that he was in a different city, I was just talking with someone a couple hours ago as well, right. And what I'm trying to say is just the most important thing, right? Yes, someone say your husband went to that city. And I saw that your husband in a corner. You heard it. I'm trying to say there are some that comes that way with the information, guah, and you cannot really do as much. But I'm not talking about those ones. There are sometimes you need to cut people short in the middle. If you cannot cut people short in the middle, you sort of ensure that after the first sentence, you don't go to the second sentence. I saw your husband in that corner. I don't know what he was doing. I told him a woman had called my mom. I think my dad had traveled and came back into the city. Altogether, right? And my dad and my mom were driving around in a prostitute infested environment in Abuja. I went together, and the lady called my mom to say, I saw Pastor Amos carrying a lady. Meanwhile, the lady in front was my mom. You know, that kind of person, you just give them warning. Anytime you see it again, in the real sense, anytime, because you've heard, let me tell you, do you know, from the day my dad shared that testimony, it cannot leave my mind. Do you understand how, in my mind, I'm just like, imagine if it wasn't my mom. Or imagine I don't trust my dad and I start saying, what if it was another day? That's the way information works. So this year, be wise. Yeah? Redeeming the time for the days and evil. Guard your heart. Audit your relationships. There are people you unfollow. There are people you block. There are people you mute. I work together, right? There are people you archive. I work together. Like I always say, I usually don't propagate and, advance for blocking people, particularly people who you once knew or who have been a blessing to you or who you know. There's no one who I've ever blocked or had to block. But there are many muted people. In fact, it might shock me to realize I have more muted people than unmuted. Do you understand? Nothing should give you headache this year. Right, not that she give you a headache this year, right? Yeah, so when you start telling somebody, is always every time you check their post, they're always talking about this person, that person, particularly those who God are using to bless you, or the offices of those people God are using to bless your lives, be very, very important, right? Number five, put the service of God first. We looked at this on Wednesday. Put the service of God first. We looked at the woman, the one who came to meet Jesus and said, let me go and bid farewell to my family. And Jesus said, no, no one puts his hand in the plow and looks back on his feet. They don't want to say, let me go and bury my father. That sounded legitimate. An excuse is an excuse. He says, no, let the dead bury the dead. You go preach the kingdom. Even a lot of pastors said that today. Those pastors were trained. Altogether. So put service of God first in all things. We spoke about this earlier on, right? That means you put the things of the activities of church as priority. Altogether, put the activities of church as priority. They just wake up and just say, they just told me that I'm supposed to miss service for the next 2 months, right? I'm supposed to be this thing. Yeah, I understand there are some that are beyond your control, but there are those that, let me tell you something, you know, I was talking to one of you, probably listening to me right now, right? And I was saying, your organization came up and said that he had to travel urgently out of the country. Yeah, you know, one of the things I just said was simple, right? If it was priority for you to be around for, you know, this particular period, right, you would have found a way around it, because nobody can force you to go anywhere. And you're not going to lose your job if you try to meet in the middle. What was the example? Your company says you should leave whatever you are doing and travel on a Sunday, or was it Monday, and come back on a Saturday, or whatever the case might be, right? And what happens eventually, you know, like I said, yeah, we have to use people to preach, right? This is an example of something that happened live. Altogether, right? So you have to feel comfortable with it, right? And just to communicate a point. You know, and they had said you would need to leave the country or whatever it is. You know, if you really wanted to be around for a special meeting or something that was going to happen differently, you will make your way around it. What about if they tell you to book a flight for you on Sunday morning? You tell them, I have to be in church on Sunday morning. Are we together? Please, can I go with the afternoon flight? Can I go with the evening flight? Can I go on Monday morning? If you miss the first day or whatever they've asked you to go for, the heaven and earth is not going to fall. And best believe they can give you an audio link for that. Just because you are prioritizing things of the Spirit. Like I've said over time, I've missed opportunities just because I want to be with the saints and minister in the local church. Now together, right? Let the local church and things around it put service at first, activities at first. There are some times that are urgent, that let it be that you are not really known for those very sporadic things. Everything urgent. Are you a puppet? How can everything be urgent in your office? Okay, every week in, week out, urgent. They just urgently said. When you know, as if the employer is a traveler, or the employer is someone who should, you get the point. Particularly when Sunday is not even your work day. I've been around when my CEO, not my manager, the owner of the company I was working for, called me on a Sunday morning and said I should report in his house. Wow, he can't work. I had more to gain by reporting than lose financially, logically. I'm talking about someone who was paying my salary. No, honorably, you tell people honorably. I say, it can't work. I'm sorry, sir. The best I can do is when I finish preaching, right? I'll report at the office, I'll report at your place. It's honorable, right? Tomorrow, you probably will not try it again. Altogether, I mean, that was not my present boss a couple of years ago. It's just the reality. Let people know that you stand for Jesus and let it be the case. Let it be your priority. The reason why people can just boss you around is because except they don't know what's happening, you know, but except you're not really shown as much that is your priority. Let me tell you, I had three managers I reported to before my CEO. I was reporting to three managers before I could get to my CEO, right? It wasn't any of the three, it was my CEO that reported me. I didn't lose my job because I said I can't report to you on a Sunday morning. Some of us just make some things so look ambiguous. I see people don't have heads on their shoulder. You can't beat me out of church to be at wherever you want me to be on a Sunday morning. It's not possible. So I try to say these things to you so you don't make it look, because the way some of you used to behave, this is you used to make it, you make me feel as though I don't have experiences in life or I don't go through things in life. That's my CEO, right? And that was a multi-billionaire, yeah, in his right. How we together? I've said no to serious people for the sake of the gospel. Yeah, so make that your intentional act this year. You make up your mind that this year, no, things Jesus first. Things Jesus first. Everything Jesus first. Jesus first. Jesus first. All together. Yeah, the thing they wanted me to do on that Sunday morning, it could wait till Sunday afternoon. Am I the one holding your kidney? Why don't you just call me on Sunday morning and say I report? I don't understand. Now, fair enough, people have the right to do whatever they want to do with their words and their voice and their credits. But you should have your place where you hold your ground and ensure that nothing moves you from a consecration to Jesus. Nothing can move you. We've seen it being there. We're still there. Nothing. I still told you one a few weeks ago. It's just the reality. So some of you don't make it look as if you're the only ones going through life. So put the service of God first. Let your attendance in church, your attendance, your commitment, understanding what the will of God, be very, very priority. Yeah, some of us will sing, I'll put you in front. You and I, Jesus, you are all that matters. It's not true. It's not true. How do you know it's God that matters when you actually see there's an option to pick from? Now, together, there's an option to pick from. I remember when I was working in Nigeria back then, right? I had a policy in my organization where they would tell me, you know, so while I was working, you can't go home with one of the places I was working, actually. You can't go home without your CEO. You know, those kind of structures. You don't go home, even though they told you your contract time is 6 o'clock, you don't go home before your CEO goes home. And I made the middle point. I'm not disregarding you, but look, you see, look, you're paying me till 6 o'clock. It's simple. I'm going to be honorable. You know what I did? There are many ways, some of you knew, there are many ways days I left my laptop open in my office. Left my laptop open with the work I was doing. I left my office at 5:15, 5:30 to preach in church at 6 o'clock. As soon as I was done preaching at 8 o'clock, I dropped the mic and drove back to my office to be there till 9:30, 10 sometimes. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? It's a one day in a week. It's a Wednesday. I'm trying to say on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, keep me till 10. I'll be there through that period. But you can't tell me I cannot step out of the office at you gracious Father, let me just be very calm now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Some of us just feel like, you know, we must bend to whatever. You can't be tossed. You must have a ground, particularly for the things of Jesus. Altogether, I'll leave my laptop open in the office. I'll run to my preaching. I'll go back and finish preaching. I'll preach. I'll sweat. I'm literally sweating, right? Driving all the way I need to drive, be in church, preach. I'll go back to my laptop, still open. My colleagues are still there sitting there. You know what I can do as well again? It meant that during my break earlier in that day, I may not have taken it, so I can justify me leaving at 6 to come back at 8. Sacrifice I make for the kingdom. But what's, you see, people, it's easy to say, and my boss said I must not leave anywhere. Come off it. My boss said I must, every Wednesday, my boss said I must not leave everywhere. Every Wednesday. Come off it. You're not talking to a kid. I was together talking to people who have actually been through these things as well. I've been there, right? There are days when, for instance, I'll maybe want to leave work early, but I won't. I don't know if you remember when we used to have those fiscal meetings in Nigeria. I'd be at work at 7:30, 8 in the morning. I'm at work till 6 o'clock. I leave 6 o'clock, drive straight to church at 6:30, get to church at 7, and I preach. I stand from 7 p.m. till almost 7 a.m., preach for 5-6 hours, pray for 5, all of us are together, but you're not there. Are we together? So don't, see, whatever you give excuses for, there are people in more critical situations than you are, who are in worse situations than you are, and they are doing what God wants you to do. So this coming year, right, stop giving excuses. Put the service of God first. Everything should revolve around service of God. Some of you have, you know, I found out some of you who work, you know, from Saturday night into Sunday morning and all the likes, right? And that's such a huge sacrifice to come to church. That's very, 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 very huge. Altogether, I was giving you an example a couple of weeks ago of one of Sister Vim's mom, right, who would, you know, take out her break time from office just to ensure that she takes out that 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever, to just be. You notice she leaves church just exactly at the same time every week. Why? Because she's having to report back to work. You can do it. And we're together. You can do it. Yeah, she's reporting to someone. Right? So that's why excuses are not something that floats my boat. And we're together. Right? Because I also know that I've taken huge sacrifices for the cause of the gospel. And we're together. Right? And if a time comes where it feels very impossible and difficult, you know, let me tell you, one day a week, if you tell your manager that, please, can you work my rota or my shift? Not, I have some of you who told me that they got new jobs and the first thing they told their managers is, I cannot work on Sunday. I think Bro Alamide told me something like that as well, a couple months ago thereabout. And I told them, I said, I cannot work on Sunday. Anything you do, don't give me a shift on Sunday. Are we together? There are people who do very strange things for the cause of the gospel. No matter what field you are in, a Sunday is a Sunday, it's once a week. You can tell your manager, please, I can't work on this day because it's my day where I give my due diligence and service to God. I can work afternoon shift, night shift, but you see that morning shift. You can do it. It's not, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Yeah? You can do it. Don't just, my brother came to town. I want to be the one to take him to the airport. So I will sit with him in the airport till his plane take over. Assistant pilot. I want to watch the plane going. I need to book flight for Sunday morning. You help him pay for the flight on Sunday morning. It's just excuses. You can't go far with excuses. Anyways, hopefully this instructs your heart, right? So don't get deceived by the calm voice I used to do. It still comes out hard, right? So next one, respond more to God's love and God's word, right? Let your devotion be evident. It links into the previous one. Right? With things I just said to you, I didn't teach you anything outside God's word. I just taught you from Luke 9. A man said, well, I will follow you, but let me go bid farewell to my family. I'm saying these three examples are the crux, one of the three crux examples of excuses you can have. To bury your dad, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And some say it's figure of speech. Okay. Display the figure of speech example of that. Let the dead bury their dead, right? Yeah. Not saying you should abandon your dead in the mortuary. That's what it says. But you go preach the kingdom. Priorities. Let your priorities be known and be obvious to all. Now together, right? I've lived Luke 9 in my reality. Yeah, on a Saturday was when my dad passed and slept in the Lord. I was together. On the next day, I'm not talking about the week after, the immediate next day. Yeah, I was in church preparing to go and preach. But to my dad, someone who my dad was sort of accountable to called and said, I'm not the one to announce my dad's passing into glory. I've lived it though. That's why nothing moves me. I've lived it. Some of us will use 3 months to cry on the grandfather we did not know. Eh? Which is, that's the mindset some of you have also taken into work. Yeah? Just because you want to take maternity leave, you'll be lying that your grandpa died. Some of you, your grandpa have died 4 times. It just shows that you're not really doing the word. All together. Let me say this way. I've never for once advocated or ever for once had to lie to take out time off work to do a special meeting. No, you don't have to lie to be in church. That's first an issue. If you have to lie, so your manager can be able to grant you your day off. It's simple. You have days off you are entitled to. All together. So we've been there, my dear brothers, my dear sisters. We've been there, right? So respond more to God. As I'm saying these things, respond to them. Decide in your mind that this coming year, you will give your attention to God, your attention to service. We're going to be having evangelism now for UK Church on Saturday. No excuse. All those play dates. Play dates can be 9 a.m. to 12 o'clock. Play dates can be 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Don't do play dates at 1 p.m. Pastor, there's one play date we usually do once every year or once every month, and every once every month. No. Let people know, we have evangelism in our church this Saturday. Unfortunately, I missed it earlier on. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I missed it in my calendar earlier on. Please forgive me. We have to reschedule. I'll get that. Yeah, not the one you do. Some of you are not even, let me be careful with my words right now before you tell me, but some of you know yourselves. Some of you will be preaching here. As I'm preaching, you'll be posting Instagram posts. How do I know? I'll just check my phone and look at my WhatsApp status. This person posted 15 minutes ago. 15 minutes ago, I was screaming and shouting and sweating. Without finishing, I say, thank you, Pastor. You now copy and paste somebody. Thank you, Pastor, sir. Thank you, Pastor, sir. The word grows in your hand. The word grows in your hand. Yeah, learn to be serious, okay? Yeah, yeah. There's some commitments you can just have. Even if it's an online meeting, even if you remember somebody's birthday at that point, yeah, thank you for all you have been. You've been a friend for over 5 decades. What a consistent. And pastor is shouting, you will still be among us and say, thank you, sir. Yeah? Do God's word, okay? Yeah? Next word, we spoke about doing God's word. Let me just wrap up here. let me just say this as well. Learn to make it a point of duty to preach the word of God today to people. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Never any man be in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have come new. All things are of God who has reconciled us back all together. Now he has given us, now I beseech you in Christ's stead, right, that you preach, right, that as ambassadors of Christ, that you preach the gospel all together. Do that more this year. Preach the gospel more. Don't sit on the train, all your train to office, train back from office. You are sitting down, you are just using your headset. No, speak to someone beside you. Speak to someone beside you. As you're walking to the train, don't say human beings are finished. Nobody gave you that. Everybody was on the move. No. Nobody is on the move on a train. All of you are waiting to get to the next train station. You can preach on the train. Some of you, you will sit with somebody on the train, you won't preach to them. It's until you now enter the train station, you now be pursuing people and say, ah, nobody's waiting for you. What are the people that sat beside you on the, where are they going to? Yeah? Yeah? You know, when you have a good news and you're certain about it as your conviction, you'll be proud to shout about it. All together. Right? Yeah? Yeah. So in the real sense, in the coming year, ensure you guard your heart, renew your mind, Romans 12:1-2. Meditate on God's word. You can add that as different numbers. Preach the word, meditate on God's word, guard your heart, make it a point of duty to how to do others in the love walk. Right? Learn to forgive. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forgive. Forgive properly. I'm talking about true forgiveness. All together. And learn to own up to your responsibilities and apologize. Not apology that comes with however, but nevertheless, nonetheless. I'm sorry, however, you too. No, that's not apology. Yeah? Yeah? I'm sorry, moreover, whithersoever. Yeah? Learn to outdo in love walk. Be the one who forgives. Be the one who apologizes in the coming year. Right? These are things you do to ensure. Because the time you're supposed to be using to preach or pray, and now using it to keep malice. See the point? You see how it's all linked back to redeeming the time? Because the days are evil. All together, right? Yeah, I'll end there. I saw a video of a friend of mine who was, his mom was really talking about someone who they had lost a few days ago, right? And the lady was saying, I'm excited. Oh, I reached out to him and I spoke to him 2 days before he passed and he said he was doing fine. You know, and what that just meant to me was just, you see, nobody knows when what happens. Learn to forgive, move on, heal fast. And if it's time for you to apologize, apologize well. Apologize properly. Own your mistakes. You're not above mistakes. Don't always be defensive. Don't always try to defend yourself. Don't always try to put a wall around yourself. Are we together, right? Own up to your mistakes. Own it. Don't always try to explain it away. Let me tell you, more often than not, for peace to reign, right, there are times you apologize without explaining yourself. Then you bring the explanation later if it's needed. Get the point, right? Learn to outdo in love walk in this coming year. Tell yourself, look at your partner, say, I will walk in love more than you this year. Yeah, I'm talking to you all of you looking at your partners. Yeah, look at your partner, say, I will forgive you more this year. Say, I will apologize when I'm wrong to you more this year. Right? Say, I will love you more this year. Look at your children, say that to them as well. Right? Look at your friends as well around and say that to them as well. All together, right? So guard your words, right? That's linking to the love walk. Don't insult people anyhow. Don't just use your words anyhow, right? Words are like pouring water into a basket. Once you've poured into the basket, you can't gather it back again together. The same thing with words that you hear. Once you allow it to enter into your heart, you have more work to do in cleansing your heart all together. Right? Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this beautiful evening. I hope you've been instructed. And I hope, much importantly, you've seen areas and regions where you have to make up your mind to be a better believer in the coming year. Well, looking forward to a miracle-filled year for you. Praying and trusting God for you that in the coming days, your heart is much more stabilized in the will of the Father, right? And you see more reason for you to get yourself more committed to the things of God, right? And I pray for you that in the coming year, you won't live your life based on excuses. And I mean both spiritually and also in other areas of your life, right? You will decide, make up your mind. You will have all the strength that is required for you to be a better human being, for you to be a better believer. For you to be a better child, a better son, a better daughter, a better wife, a better husband, are we together, a better uncle, right? You'll make up your mind that in the coming year, right, that you will do better in all phases of it. And I pray and I receive for you much more strength, much more strength, much more strength abounding to you, much more strength abounding to you. Well, if I don't speak to you again, thank you for giving me your ears, like I said earlier on today. This 2025 has been a very remarkable year. It's been my best year so far, right? It's been a very beautiful year for me, right? Very interesting year for me as a pastor. Very beautiful year for me as a pastor. Been my best year as a pastor. Been my best year as a preacher, right? It's been my best year leading people. And I'm grateful to each and every one of you who has taken out your energy, your time, your resources to stand by our vision in the local church. Right, I'm grateful to all your attention, all the good check-ins here and there, all the lovely gifts here and there, all the lovely messages here and there. I do not take it for granted. All the times you all have, you know, gone way and above and beyond for my sake, not just as your pastor, but even just someone who is a friend to you and a brother to you. I'm so grateful, and I do not take it for granted. I'm trusting God that, you know, the way we held our hands this year, we'll hold our hands with much more unity, right, and fight against everything that wants to make us disunited in the coming year, right, because we know that God has planted us in the various cities we are in for a reason. And we know that God has an instruction for us. God has a commitment for us. God has an assignment for us. I will not allow the works and the vices of the devil come to sow tears in our midst. We will not allow the disunity that the devil is really looking forward to, or looking forward for, right? Yeah, to have its way in our midst. Yeah, trusting and praying for you. I'm rooting for you. Praying that, you know, the days ahead are full of much more miracles. Miracles abounding towards you, supernatural miracles, healings, health, divine assistance, favor in the sight of men and women alike, right? And things that, you know, you didn't really plan for in this year, that you will superimpose even your plans, rather, you will super exceed even your plans, and things you didn't even plan for this year, you will see them happen. You see, that's what the best of my year. For me, my year was very interesting. As a very well planning guy or planned guy, I had lots of things that beat my imagination altogether. And I pray for you as well that, you know, in the coming year, there will be experiences in your career, there will be acceleration as well, the promotion in your careers as well, right? In the things of the spirit, you will have much more conviction about the things you stand for, right? And it will birth much more, you know, preaching of the gospel in this coming year as a local church. Let me tell you, one of the things we will see, we will experience much clearer seeing eyes than hearing ears. Okay, yeah, much more seeing eyes than hearing ears, right? That's your portion. Right, that's your portion. You will see clearly, you will hear clearly, both in our services and even outside of our services. You will just know by the Spirit where to be, where not to be, where to go, where not to go. You'll be led actively by the voice of the Holy Ghost. You'll be led actively by the, you know, the gifts of the Spirit that you already have on your inside. Do well to hark into that. It's a beautiful year. I'm looking forward to 2026 being my best year so far. And I trust it can be yours as well. Right? Yeah. Stay cool-headed. Right? Stay focused. Don't allow distraction in the coming year. Right? Don't allow distraction in the coming year. Don't allow anything to take your distraction. Right? Stay united with the vision of the church. Right? Stay committed. Stay loyal to the cause of the church. Right? Stay loyal. Let people know where your loyalty lies. Don't be one who is perching everywhere. You celebrate everybody, jump everywhere, jump at every ministry that is coming into, you know, into time. Stay loyal. You know, I've never used that word before in a meeting like this, right? Stay loyal. Love you so dearly. Cheers.